Hey guys, Pete here, and thanks for taking the time to download this audio and learn a bit more about outsourcing. The interview I've got for you today is with Dan Turner, who's a friend of mine that runs probably the biggest business that I know of that's driven by outsourcing. He's got a huge team in about 3 or 4 different countries around the world, which he goes into in the interview. I just wanted to pick his brain for a little bit on his experience with outsourcers, the pros, the cons, what to look out for, and how to do it successfully. So let's jump inside. Enjoy the interview. Please leave some comments on the blog. It was also recorded using Skype and mixed with GarageBand, which is my first experience with GarageBand. So the levels were a little bit off and things like that, so I apologise. If anyone's got any good tips, please let me know. All right, cool, Dan. Well, thanks for taking the time to have a chat, mate.
No worries, buddy. My pleasure.
Cool. Well, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about outsourcing and stuff over the last couple of years with Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, kind of, I guess, kicking it off in the mainstream. There's been plenty of positive and negative talk about the whole thing.
After people have done it a few times or tried to do it a few times, a lot of negative usually, but yeah. I agree.
This thing isn't actually the way it was pitched in the book and stuff like that.
That's right.
How's your experience been? I know you guys have quite a big team.
We work with probably around about 80 people, both internally and externally. We've got an office here in Australia now with 10 people now, actually. We hired another person last week. So an office here in Australia with 10 people. We've got, which obviously is not outsourcing, but got an office in India. We've got 36 people over there, I think. And then we've got various people. So we've got our content writers in the US, UK. We've got our one of our programming teams in the Ukraine. So we've got 3 guys over there. We've got another design crew in India. We've got our virtual assistants in Philippines, and also a few content writing people down there as well. We've got people, I guess, all over the place, really.
These are regular people who are doing regular work for you guys, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. This is and just before we started this, you were just going through the aha moment or the light bulb moment for you, where it's like the difference between outtasking and outsourcing is like, well, yeah, I've been outtasking. No wonder it hasn't been working properly. No wonder I have to go back to this find a new person. It doesn't work. So these are guys that we work with on a very regular basis. Like the designer that I've been working with for the last 3 years, he started in his bedroom. He's now got 18 staff of his own. Wow. That he has basically, I've helped him grow his business, and I'm obviously a major client of his, and he looks after me, and I take up a decent portion of his team. But he had to grow his people because I gave him so much work and identified him as someone I could rely upon and trust, to pass work through and get a good result back, whether he did it or not. So he would then set up, after I set up systems with him, he would take those systems and replicate them into his own company and his own business with his own staff, so that I can give him the task like I would normally would, and then he manages it all for me. So, and that's also then the same with our content writers as well.
So you've really spent obviously quite a few years putting a system together around the whole outsourcing process and method and things.
Yeah, I mean, when I say this product is the sum total of our experiences and mistakes, I truly do mean a lot of mistakes and a lot of money that we have dead set. I would actually have been better off putting into a pile in my living room, setting fire to it, and getting some heat from it. It would be better used that way.
A viral video too, I guess, as well.
Yeah, just take $100,000 in cash, stick it in the middle of your room, and just lit fire to it. Sure. Well, you can't do that with Australian notes because they're plastic.
Yeah, true.
We've made a lot of mistakes. And from that, we've learned from those mistakes. Much like with yourself, if you start by tasking someone, and every single time you have to repeat that task, you repeat the same stuff, slightly different, over and over again, 10, 20 times, you soon realize, well, hang on a sec, this is a little bit inefficient. Perhaps I should, do the system once, spend an hour developing the system and then give that to the person. That might be a better idea.
That was the biggest issue that I found. I read the 4-Hour Workweek, like millions of other people around the globe went, cool, I'm off to India to find some people to do some work for me, and I can sit on the beach and work 3 hours a week. I'm going to trump Tim and only work 3 hours a week. But what I
found was that I was doing exactly that. I was out-tasking, not outsourcing. Yeah. I think it's worth really defining that. It's outsourcing is one thing, but out-tasking is simply saying, I've got this one task to do, which would only take me an hour. I'm going to try and find someone to do it, and it takes me an hour and a half to find that person.
Yeah. See, you know, when to define the two, basically out-tasking is a singular activity. Now, that singular activity could be, you know, installing a blog, or it could be writing a piece of content, or it could be doing a design, or it could be, you know, whatever it is, right? You go and you search for someone because you go, well, bugger this, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm sick of it, you know, I'm going to find someone who can do it. So you go and post a bid, hey, I want you to install my blog for me, I will pay you $50, right? And it's already you're already an hour down the hole because you know, you've had to find all the information and write the post and whatever. And you go through the process of trying to find someone, and finally you pick someone that, you know, you really don't know whether they're going to be good or not. You give them your login details, you give them the details that they need to do their job, and they either bugger it up or you might get lucky and they actually get it done right. Now, for you to do it, it would have taken you, like you said, about an hour, and you've just invested 3 hours with someone to try and get them to do it for you, right? With no ability to repeat that process with minimal involvement of time on your behalf. That to me is crazy. Now, the only time that I'll do out-task or do a task myself is if it's a singular activity that is a once-off, right? It's something I'm only going to do it once, and I'm never going to do it again, and it's going to take me longer to train the person or show the person how to do it than to do it myself.
Yeah.
Right, because in those situations, I will do the activity myself. Now, the difference between out-tasking and outsourcing is where you find someone who is a specialist and has specialist knowledge in the field that you're looking for. You develop a system around whatever activities it is that you're creating. You know, so if it's installing a blog, you do a video on your preferences, your settings, you know, how to locate information, how to do it. You from start to finish, you do a video. You give that video to the person. And all that once you've done that video once, it's complete. It's finished. You don't have to record it again ever, right? You give that video to the person. You say, "Watch this, and do it," right?
Yep.
Now, then what you can say is, "Say, look, I'm going to have to do this fairly regularly. You know, would you mind if rather than me finding someone else, would you mind if I just come back directly to you? I'll pay you $40 for every install I need to do. Yeah, no worries." So then all you have to do is go back to that person and say, hey, mate, here's the URL, here's the details, do it the same as the last one.
Yeah, right?
Like dead set, 2 minutes of work as opposed to an hour, right? Because that person now has a system behind how to do that for you based on your specs because you did it once, you recorded it, you built the system, and they can go away and do it themselves. So.
Yeah, I think you're completely right, and that's where you can actually put your business on autopilot by having these systems in place. And I think we're not saying that out-tasking is not relevant, because it definitely is relevant
in a number of
circumstances,
yeah.
And that's where I find Elance and Voices 123 and Odesk and Rentico fabulous for sort of out-tasking and things like that. What about going out actually finding people to outsource to? You still use those same resources?
Okay, so there's a number of ways you can do it, because like you were just saying, outtasking is actually a very important part of this process, because to outsource, you first have to out-task. Because the first person you find may not actually be good at whatever it is that you're looking for them to do, and therefore you're going to have to go through the same process with another person until you find the person you can rely upon to repeat an activity on a regular basis, right? And that's kind of the key point here. You know, tasking is once off, outsourcing is ongoing, following a predefined system. Now, I actually use Rentacoda to find my outsourcing agents, it's actually three things. First, when someone's first starting out, they're 9 times out of 10 going to find something through or go through this process through a Rentacoda, through an Elance, through an Odesk, whatever those places that they use or choose to use. And what you got to do is you need to post a bid of a small scale, right? 5 articles or a banner design as opposed to a web design. And you're going to get, you're going to get 4 people to do the same job. Identical same job, right? You're going to pay them maybe $20. Now, when they come back, right, and you've already selected the 4 from the 20 posts that you've already got. So when they come back, you've got 4 comparisons, And you go, okay, well, you know, number one was really slow on communication, but he did a good job. Number two was really good on communication, but he did a crap job. Number three was quite decent at communication, gave me everything I need, and did a great job as well. And number four was, you know, awesome communication, came back faster than I expected, and gave me an awesome result. Well, I'll pick number four. Thank you very much. Mm. Right? Now, that process will give you a better result. Well, it is almost guaranteed to give you a better result than if you just post a job and hope for the best, right? Once you've used that person once, you can then come back to them and say, hey, look, anytime I have this situation or anytime I need this stuff done, do you mind if I go through you? Because if you've got a good result once, chances are you'll probably get a good result again. And you just come, rather than going and finding and posting a bid, you can just do a private bid through Rentokoda and post the same specs because you've already gone through it once. Post the same specs, and you know there's your outsource person, right? They can then come to you on a regular basis. Now, here's a key point in this, though, is you want to make sure you get their contact details external to Rentokoda. So you want to get Skype, you want to get, if you can, a phone number or some sort of communication medium outside of Rentokoda, but keep all mission-critical stuff or bid-critical stuff in the system so that if there's ever a problem, you can always go back to it.
Yeah.
Now, the other way that that you can do it outside of doing that is going to something like an outsourcing company, right? So there's companies in Philippines and India and other places that will actually hire people for you, right? They go through the filtering process and all that sort of stuff. Now, I personally don't like doing this myself personally because they're not my person, right? They're the company's person. And if that company treats them badly or poorly, they can leave. And then I'm stuck with someone else who has to go through the same system and process of setting up again. But that's a fairly fast entry point into this game. Mm. And the third thing that I do is I work on referrals. Now, you know, if I've got someone who's a really good content writer, right, and perhaps they're doing an English degree, right, chances are they probably know other people who are going to be pretty decent at writing, right? So I'll just go to them. I'll say, hey, look, do you know of anyone who would like to do the same thing that, you know, I do with you that is of the same or similar quality? And 9 times out of 10, they'll come back and say, well, yeah, actually, I've got a friend who's, you know, got some spare time and would love to do some work. Sweet. Introduce them. Let's do it. So referrals actually work really well because – and the thing is one thing you got to stress is that you want to make sure that they would hire that person if they were looking for that job. Right, you want to make sure they're just not freeloading and you know, just mooching off you, if that makes sense. Okay. You know, it's like, oh, sweet, I'll bring a friend in and, you know, they'll make some money too. They got to actually be decent at the job. One thing I do in my offline company is if someone recommends someone to my business, they put their job on the line. So it's a rule that if you recommend someone to work here, if I fire them, you're fired.
Yeah, be cool.
Right, because... Cool. Yeah, absolutely, man, because it's their putting someone into my organization that I'm trusting them to make the judgment call on whether they're suited or not. And I only want people who are willing to bet their livelihood that, you know, they're going to fit the role. And it's one of the best things that I've ever done because every single person that now joins my business through this medium is more invested, right? They're more driven. They know all the stuff previously and background to the business, and I'm just getting a fantastic result doing this. So referrals is really good. Those are probably the three areas that you're going to go into outsourcing. There is a fourth, but it's the advanced step, and that is once you progress to having people manage the areas of your operation, right? And there's four areas to an online business, and those are content, design, programming, and traffic. And each of those can have a singular person managing that process for you and managing the people below them, right? So I have a person who looks after all my content, right? So I just go, I deal with her and her only. She deals with all my writers. I have a designer I go to. I deal with him and him only. He deals with all our designers. I have a guy in our traffic team. I deal with him and him only, right? They manage it all for us based on the systems that we've created and built to manage each individual person in the first place.
Yeah.
That was a very long there was a very long answer to a very short question.
That's all right. Good business for everybody. It's great. Keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned a couple of things in there about sort of the reliability side of stuff, which I think a lot of people aren't. I had a big issue with reliability early on, is that I'd out-task something, and then I'd possibly go back to somebody just randomly later, try and throw them some work, and they didn't reply, or they just, whatever it might have been, they jacked their prices up, or whatever it might be.
Yep.
What's your experience with the reliability side of stuff in outsourcing? Because I think a lot of people are scared of outsourcing from reliability and a trust aspect as well, too, I guess.
Absolutely, and I call this, I guess, your level of control.
Yep.
What are you willing to give up? Now, I am by nature a control freak, and it's kind of ironic that a control freak is writing a product on outsourcing. But there's certain elements in my business that I choose not to give up, and some people will be to a greater or lesser degree than me. Everyone's different. So for me, I'm fairly strict on my customer service. I'm fairly strict on my financial stuff. I won't give that out. I won't outsource that. They'll outsource that. For other people, it might be, you know, they're really strict on their design, or they're really strict on whatever, right? Everyone's different. Now, when it comes back to reliability, I like to have the married with one or two kids, got a mortgage, working for me. Because in almost all situations, like if you hire a uni student, right, in Romania, right, you've got them at most, more than likely, like 9 times out of 10, you've got them at most for the length and period of their degree, right? Because as soon as they finish, correct, as soon as they finish their degree, they're going to go and get a real world job. Now, not taking into consideration if they all of a sudden meet a boy or a girl and they just fall off the face of the planet, right? I've had that happen a lot of times, right? If so, I like to go for the married, got kids, got a mortgage kind of person because they're sustainable and they're reliable. Now that doesn't mean I don't hire people that are, you know, of all ages, of all types, of all whatever. But I just know that from personal experience, that person is going to be more reliable more often than not. And you have to work from the premise that you are not always going to keep one person ad infinitum. It's just not going to happen. It's just about making sure that you have the best possibility of success in that scenario. So you want to find out a few things. How long have they been doing it for? Right? If they've just started, they don't actually know whether they enjoy doing it or not. If you're their first job, if you're their first prospect, client, right, they might do the first job with you and go, well, bucket this, I hate this, right, I'm done, right?
Absolutely.
You know, but if they've done 100 jobs previously, you can probably, over the last 4 years, you can probably bet that they're going to be around for the next four as well and do the same sort of field of work, right?
Absolutely.
One thing, in terms of reliability, as someone progresses through my organization, like I, when someone starts, I give them a small task, right? I don't give mission critical stuff to people who are just starting. You know, they might just do some content, some basic content writing, right? They might just do some basic affiliate reviews. They might just do some basic site design, some basic stuff. As they progress and as I give them more and more and more stuff, I continually make sure that they are reliable. I'll get their phone numbers, I'll get their addresses, I'll get their Skypes, I'll get their Yahoos, right? I'll get all of their personal information so that if, for example, like, and especially if you're dealing with people in, say, India or Romania, some of these towns actually lose power for 3 days straight, right? Like, just gone, and they can't get on the internet. Now, they haven't just disappeared. They have legitimately, like, they can't get on. Like, it's like, oh, I can't drive 4 hours to the next, you know, town because my car has frozen over, right? Or I'm snowed in. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Right? But you want to be able to pick up, you want to have a mobile phone or some sort of contact. You can call them up and you say, hey, man, what's going on? Or, hey, dude, what's going on? And they can say, well, look, I'm, you know, I got no power. I can't get on. I really apologize, but I've got nothing. And then as you progress, you get to know the person as well. See, I'm pretty confident that I've killed more grandmothers and cats and stubbed more toes and broken more bones than anyone else in history, because the amount of excuses that I've got from people like that they've killed their grandmas died for the third time, right? It is just ridiculous.
Yep.
Like the funny thing is there's actually on the iPhone. There's an iPhone application that's it's an excuse generator, and sometimes you can almost catch them out. Because you can have a look at it and you go, okay, well, that was actually pulled from this iPhone app,
yeah,
right? Because it's like word for word. But yeah, I mean, you will get a lot of excuses. You will get a lot of people who are just, you know, fly-by-nighters. But it's about doing your due diligence on the person, right? So when you start giving someone more and more critical stuff, you want to, I guess, bring them into your business a little bit more, know them a little bit better, communicate with them a little bit more, because you're trusting them with your business, essentially. Absolutely. Especially people that you bring on board in the management facility, right? And that's even more challenging. Like, I've been working with the same designer for the last 3 years. I've been working with the same content person for the last 3 years. I've been working with the same ebook writer for the last 2 years, right? Now, and the reason is because I identified them as a few things. One, they're entrepreneurial. Two, I gave them more work than they could handle purposefully, right? Because if you give someone more work than they can handle, one or two things have to happen. Either they crack, right, and they go, I can't handle anymore, or they'll find a solution, and an entrepreneur will find a solution of finding someone else to do the work cheaper, right, and still presenting the same quality back to you.
Absolutely.
Right? So I do that purposefully to force that situation to happen. And the people that progress through that stage, I then go to them, I say, okay, look, I'm now giving you 800 articles a month. I know that you can't physically write 800 articles a month. I've checked them through Copyscape. They're all legitimate. What are you doing? Now, you know what they're doing, right? They're going and finding other people to do the content for them. And if you build enough trust and rapport, they'll tell you. And I then go, awesome. I'm glad you've done that. How about, I've got three other writers who are doing this stuff for me. How about I give them to you for you to manage, and I'll pay you a dollar or two a piece for every piece of content that they write as well, right? And I'll get you to manage my stuff for me. Now, for them, like as a content writer in you know, whatever country, 9 times out of 10, the most they can make is probably between 20 and 30 grand a year.
Yep.
Right? If they're really good, right? If they step into this management role, right, they're on a pretty decent wicket.
Absolutely.
Like my bill with my content person now is over 200 grand a year and then some. And I know that she keeps a pretty decent portion of that bill,
yep,
right, for herself. And I know that I'm not her only client because I've helped her grow her business.
Yep.
So her, as a content writer 3 years ago, she was, you know, living, you know, hand to mouth. Now she's, you know, bought a house and you know, she's got a family set up and you know, she's basically set.
Yep.
So, yeah, you want to identify the entrepreneurial people. So.
Very cool. You mentioned something earlier as well that I want to touch on too, in terms of actually training these people on the systems.
Totally.
Obviously, there's a number of different ways you can do that. And I think video these days that I've found is probably by far the best way to train these outsourcers. Because I know a lot of hesitation for a lot of people is, well, what are the communication barrier? How are they going to actually understand what I want them to do?
Yes.
So how do you find that? Obviously, it's a two-part question, but...
Okay, so I'm glad you asked that question. Now, let me ask you a question in return.
Ooh.
Why why do you feel that video is the most important?
I find it great because it's visual. It's as if you can make it as if they're standing over your shoulder in a real room and going to see where it is, rather than, you know, if you had staff in your office, you wouldn't communicate to them via email or written note. You'd pull them aside and go, this is what I want. Look at this screen, look at that screen, and communicate to them. So that's how I find video being so powerful.
Now, I knew the answer that you were going to use because I know who you are. you're a highly visual person.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny that you said that because this actually came up in our office today.
Okay.
I had my new girl who started last week, I had her go through the outsource product because,
yep,
I wanted her to learn some of the things of it. And she got more out of the written manuals than she did out of the videos.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And here's the thing. There's three distinct learning modalities. There's visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. There's actually a third one, which is audio-digital, which is becoming more prevalent now in today's society. But the three primary learning modalities, if you're a visual person, you're going to learn by video. Right? If you're an auditory person, you're going to learn by listening to someone speak or listening to the instructions. If you're a kinesthetic person, which 40% of the human population is, you're going to learn by doing it yourself or, you know, physically involving yourself in it.
Yeah.
Okay? So what you have to do when you're building a system, and this is probably the most that I've released about this stuff, you know, outside of the course, but when you're building a system, you have to cater for all three learning modalities, because if all you do is do a video, right, you're missing the people who are going to pick up on the kinesthetic aspect, right? Unless you specifically state to them, I want you to repeat this task while you're watching the video and pause as and when necessary. But what I do is I break it down into three things. I do a video, I do a written guide, and I do an end example.
Yep.
Right? Now the end example or workbook or questionnaire, depending on what's needed. The end example is relevant for the kinesthetic people because they can see and feel and experience what it's going to look like, mm-hmm. right, and what it's going to feel like.
Yep.
The video is important for both the visual and auditory, and that's why video is actually so powerful, is because it caters for two of the major primary learning modalities. And then the PDF is for the people, because there's actually some people who don't if they're not auditory, right, and they are 100% visual, they're gonna falter and find video difficult, because if you know, a lot of the instruction that you go through is actually done via voice, right? And if they're an auditory person and you have a monotone, or you have, you know, you don't have any points of inflection, if they don't have that auditory perception, they're only going to pick it up via reading. And there's no reading on a video. It's all sound, right? So it's really important that you cater for all three. And then obviously there's a fourth, but that's sort of advanced stuff that, yeah.
I want to get into too deep for a Friday night.
That's right.
On a Friday night, so all this sort of stuff, we better have more fun in our lives on a Friday night than doing a call like this.
Look, mate, I'm married with two kids. I don't have a social life.
I'm sitting here with my girlfriend on the couch watching Melrose Place. So,
she loves the reruns. So, riveting stuff.
Leave her doing that, and I'll get into this sort of stuff.
That's good. I think one thing I would like to touch on, if you don't mind, is. Like I'm assuming that a lot of people who are listening to this are probably going to be relatively new to outsourcing and either tried it before and had great difficulty and or they have never tried it before and just don't know where to start. So, you know, if it's okay with you, I wouldn't mind going through like almost like a quick start plan.
Brilliant.
Yeah, go cool. Ahead. So to start outsourcing, the very first thing you need to do is identify the activities that you're doing, right? Now, traditionally, we're going to be talking about an online business here. So the four key areas are content design, software, and traffic, right? Those are the four broad aspects.
And the software, you're talking about like just general web programming and website building
Yeah, so when I say programming, it's actually split up into two sections. One is server-based or web-based, and one is desktop-based. So they're split up into sections.
Yep.
Now, you want to identify, if you're going through this process, you want to identify the things that you hate to do the most, right? So for designers, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be content writing. For people who can write, it's going to be design, right? So you want to find the thing that you hate the most. That is going to be your first thing you outsource or out-task initially, because initially you want to post a very small bid to find the right person. So you're going to identify that priority number one thing that you hate. Now, for me, when I first started, now, I mean, everyone started from ground zero. And Pete, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure you started from ground zero as well, right?
Absolutely.
You know, every business does, every successful person has, you know, it's always been the garage, bedroom, home, built into big bloody business thing. Now, when we first started, I was writing all the content, right? 10 hours a day. Writing about women's shoes and handbags and PSPs and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Boring crap that I really had no interest in. So for me, as soon as we had enough money to reinvest into our business, I said to Mark, look, man, you know, I want to grow this business, but I don't like writing this content all day. It sucks, right? So I took that 10 hours a day and I outsourced my writing.
Yep.
Now I was writing ten articles a day in that period. Right, I'm not the best article writer, and to be honest, when you're writing about like women's shoes as a guy, it ain't the most thrilling stuff. So I was getting 10 to 12 articles written a day on a daily basis, 6 days a week, and so in a month's period, I get about 250 articles written, and that cost to me, and this is 4 or 5 years ago now. The cost for me to outsource that was like less than $500. So less than $2 an article for me to free up 10 to 12 hours of my day.
Yeah, right? Incredible.
You could go and get a job at McDonald's part-time, work like 2 hours a day at McDonald's and be able to buy back 8 hours of your time. That's how powerful this stuff is. As soon as I did that, I went, holy crap, what the hell have I been doing? Right? Because as soon as you start to make some money, that money, you know, you don't want to go and blow it on friggin', you know, dinners and movies and living the lifestyle before you had the money. Mm-hmm. Reinvest it into your business, right? Because the more you can reinvest into it, the faster it's going to grow, the faster it's going to compound, the faster you're going to get to where you want to go. So I did that, and I'm like, I sat there, and I'm like, well, geez, I got 10 hours now. What am I going to do? Right. So then I went and I found the next activity that, you know, that I devoted my time to a more profitable exercise. And that's the whole point in this. Mm. So the first step for me was content. For you, it might be something else. So you want to identify that thing that you need to pass off. What you're then going to do is you're going to go to something like Rentacoder. Now, I actually recommend Rentacoder. I actually did an interview with the CEO of Rentacoder because we've been using it for 5 years. They set a lot of the standards and a lot of trends. It's an ugly site, right? Don't get me wrong. And I said
really
that to... I said that to you, and I said, look, man, you know, all due respect, but, you know, get some graphical updates, dude. I'm pretty sure you can get some decent designers.
You didn't know he'd be able to find some decent designers, wouldn't
you? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows some place where to go. We actually joked about that, but yeah. So they've set some pretty decent standards, and they've actually got a few really cool tools coming out that are going to be part of Rentacoder. So I recommend them highly, but you can go to things like Elance or Odesk or any of the other ones out there. And just for the I have to think back to the people that don't know. So it's Rentacoder.com or Elance.com or Odesk.com or any other one that you know. So you're gonna go in there and you wanna make sure that you post your bid, and your bid has to be as in depth, right, as you can. You wanna explain down to the nth degree what you want the person to do. It is worthwhile spending 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, to write the post and write as in depth as possible, because it's not just that first job you're talking about here, right? You should be working with this person from then on and hopefully taking on all aspects of their working life, right? If they're a content writer, you want to fill them up with so much work that they can't do anything else,
yeah.
Right? So it's really important that you set the standard at the outset. So write the bid, the post, as in depth as possible. What's going to happen is you're going to get people come back, right? And they're going to say, well, you know, if you set your budget, if you want to get, say, 5 articles written, right, which is going to cost you about 15, 20 bucks, you post your job and you'll get some people that come back and say, hi, my company is great. We can do your job. Scrapped. Don't want them. Right, yep. These are automatic posts, right? As you go through this process, you'll begin to learn differences, and I go through that in the outsource method as well. Is I go through what to look for and what to avoid, because if you pick the wrong person, you're not just wasting your money, you're also wasting your time, which is worse, right? Because it's going to be a week or two or three down the road and you don't have a result, and then you have to go through the process again. And this is why people, they try it once or twice and they go, well, outsourcing sucks, it doesn't work, right? But the truth is you just didn't follow a system, you didn't follow a process to get the best result. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a prize back. And, you know, if you post it for 20 bucks, and I recommend you post a small job first, because you don't want to go in and say, I want 1,000 articles created, I'm willing to pay 5 grand, right? Because that's a big portion and a large bulk of work and a large amount of time. If you do that and you don't give it to the right person, right, it's going to be 4 months down the road and you're going to have no result, right? So what I actually have, with my content stuff, it is now to the point where I actually don't even – I actually talk about, you know, I send an email and I get 2,000 man hours worth of work done. I actually have a system now where the next 12 months worth of content is done whether I request it or not, because I've set up the system so that all that they do, I've given them the systems behind the keyword research for all the sites. I've given them, you know, how to write the content and the angles and the approach and everything that need to be done, down to, you know, font sizes, document types, you know, spacings, everything, right?
Perfect.
So the next 12 months of my, I spent probably 2 hours designing the system, after they've got the systems how to do it, 2 hours designing the system, so the next 12 months worth of my stuff is done. That's like 100,000 articles that I don't even have to think about. I know they're going to be in my inbox, right? Yeah. Now, same thing goes with you. You know, you don't want to do that to that depth unless you have someone you can rely upon. So you have to find someone first on a small scale. Post a small job, be as in-depth as possible, $20, whatever it is, to get something done. You're going to get the bids back. And it's the way these systems work is a reverse auction process. Someone will come in and they'll say, I'll bid $20, right? That's cool. Someone will come back and say, well, I'll pay 18. And then someone will come back and I'll pay, you know, $5, right? And 9 times out of 10, people will go for the $5 approach, right? The $5 guy.
Yep.
The cheapest alternative, right?
Absolutely.
Don't, period, don't. Now, actually, 9 times out of 10 don't. Right, because there is actually often there is times where I've got diamonds in the rough. Because the reason someone will lowball is either they're gonna, in a content sense, either they're gonna copy the stuff from somewhere, they are just completely blatantly crap, right? Or they are trying to build their feedback and ratings. Now, if you can get someone who's a diamond in the rough, and you get them early and they're good, right? Sometimes it's actually worth the investment. Sometimes, not always. It's sort of like picking the dollar stocks, the stocks that are like, you know, trading for 1 cent.
Yep, they're trying to pick the penny stocks.
Penny stocks, that's it. It's like penny stocks, right? You might get out of 100, you might get one that skyrockets, right? And same thing goes. You can pick up some really good people for cheap cost, right? Moving forward. So you don't want to pick the bottom level 9 times out of 10. You want to pick someone in the middle, right? I usually don't pick the top. I usually don't pick the bottom. I pick the person who's going to give me the best value. So I look at their experience, right? What have they done before? And in what fields? What is their current rating? What have people said about them? What are their examples of their work? How have they replied to my post? Did they answer the questions that I asked in there? How fast is their communication, right? So I go through and work out. There's like a almost like a matrix of the things that I look for in a person. Mm-hmm. And from that, I can determine whether they're going to be a good person or not in terms of how I'm going to work with them. So I then will select 4 people, right? I select out of – you might get 10 to 20 people reply with bid. I'll pick 4 and I'll say, okay, I'm going to use you 4 and I'm going to give you the same job, right? So I'm going to basically invest $80, right, because it's four $20 jobs. I'm going to invest $80 into the future of my business. Okay. Out of those 4, you'll get one who's probably pretty slow to communicate, yep, right, and might do a decent job. You're going to get one that's going to be late and may not actually ever come back. You're going to get one that's actually pretty decent and is almost on time. And then you get one that's really good, is on time, and communicates really well. Now, who am I going to pick? I'm going to pick the guy who, or the girl, yeah, number 4. Now, if you don't go through this process, you may have picked one of the other guys without actually knowing it, right? Because 9 times out of 10, you will actually get a decent result from people. The question is, how fast are they to communicate, and do they deliver on time?
Yeah, exactly right.
See, I would rather, if I'm looking at, you know, an out of 10 rating system in terms of quality of work, I would rather an 8 out of 10 always on time than a 10 out of 10 sometimes on time.
Absolutely.
Because I need reliability and sustainability in my business over quality, right? It's always going to be about consistently performing at the highest possible level, not randomly performing at a very high level, right? And that's what you're looking for, that person who's going to be up there on a consistent basis and deliver to you results that you can rely upon. So you pick that fourth person, you go back to them and say, look, this was the first job. You know, I really appreciate the fact that you've, you know, done a really good job, and give them feedback too. You know, things you liked, things you didn't like. And you go back to them and you say, okay, look, I've got 50 articles here, or, you know, whatever it is that I want you to do on a monthly basis. You know, how many articles can you do in a month? Well, I can do 200 articles. Great. Do you mind if I give you 40 or 50 articles in various topics on a monthly basis? Well, yeah, sure. Now, what's it going to cost you? Probably $140 a month for 40 articles, right? Depending on who you use and who you find.
Yep.
Right. Now you can pay all the way up to high quality, of course. But if what you're looking for is just, you know, contents for your sites,
yep,
and they're just basic sites, there's nothing wrong with paying $3 or $4 for an article. right? You're not looking for thesis stuff here. You're looking for stuff that people are going to read and go, well, yeah, that was all right. I didn't get a lot out of it, right? Yeah. And then as the site starts to perform, then you can start transforming into some amazing stuff. Yes. So that's the process. For someone to get started, you know, that's getting started for $50 a month, right? And whether it's, you know, 50 articles or whether it's 10 articles or 15 articles, for $50 a month, you can get 15 articles written that has bought back 10 to 15 hours of your time on a monthly basis. And for the average person, they've got a job, they've got a family, they've got 1 to 2 hours a day for their online business. That's not a lot of time. That's 5 to 10 hours a week. That's 20 to 40 hours a month that they have to invest into their business, and they're pissing it up against the wall, writing, doing stuff and doing activities that they really shouldn't be doing. So if all you do is outsource your content to start with, right?
Huge leverage in that. Huge.
Oh man, massive. And most people make, you know, 20, 30, 40 grand a year, right, as an average job, right? You know, if you can invest $100, right, a month, or $150 a month, and you're spending a lot of your time dicking around with writing content or trying to install a site, right, you just bought back your time, you know, your work time over. It's like, well, hang on a sec, all my work that I had to do, I don't have to do now, but it's going to get done anyway. What else can I choose to do? What more can I do? And you reinvest. And this is the one thing that I disagree with Tim's stuff is, yeah, I mean, you know, his concepts are sound and all that sort of stuff. But I think about, you know, not how can I work a 4-hour work week and get 40 hours. I think about how can I work a 40-hour work week and get 4,000 hours, right? Because, and that's where the leverage comes into play. You know, because I just think of it from a compounding of results point of view. You know, if I can just continually reinvest my time, continually reinvest my money into my business, I'm going to grow that much faster. So.
Very, very cool. I definitely took some notes through that. So that was great, mate. Thank you very much.
No worries. Oh, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's about providing value. And if I can, you know, help you or help the guys that are listening, then that's what it's all about.
Very cool. Well, I guess it's probably worth touching on something you mentioned quite a few times throughout the conversation, which is the outsource method, which is a program you've put together recently.
Yeah, it is the sum total of our mistakes and experiences, and you know, 5 or whatever years it's been now, and you know, we do over 100,000 articles uniquely written for us a year. We've done over 1,000 designs. So when it comes to outsourcing, we're relatively experienced in this process, and you can't do that quantity of stuff on an ongoing basis without having a system down pat. Because if you're doing that quantity of work without some sort of, you know, system or repeatable process, it's chaos. It'd be a nightmare. I'd hate to be that. But yeah, so I mean, we put together this program, and like I was saying it before, you know, before we started this recording, you know, it started out as, you know, I wanted to put together something on outsourcing because there wasn't a lot of you know, end-to-end material, you know, on how to do it. And I thought, oh, I'll just put together, you know, a few videos and some written stuff. And when I started going through it, I'm like, well, hang on a sec, I can't leave that out because it's critical. And I'm like, oh, hang on a sec, I can't leave that out because it's critical. And it just grew and it grew and it grew. And it was going to be like 3 videos and you know, a 30 or 40 page book or whatever. And it's grown into, you know, 10 modules and basically an end-to-end system on how to outsource your business online. And the principles apply both online and offline as well. It's not just an online medium that you can use. You can apply the same stuff into an offline business model. So, I mean, that's the core foundation of the course. The last 3 modules are 3 specific modules: outsourcing for content, outsourcing for design, and outsourcing for software. And that takes you through specifically what you need to do in each of those situations. And we also give templates based on stuff that we've used for getting the best results, which is bid requests, right? Bid request templates based in the arenas. Because nothing the only things that you can't really outsource is the strategic elements to your business. Well, there's 3 things. Strategic elements, relationship building on a personal level, and the things you enjoy, right? Those are the 3 things that I would either choose not to outsource, right? And that's like family time, that's like doing stuff I enjoy, that's like, you know, developing the plans and the vision and everything else that goes along with my businesses. So those things are, you sort of do yourself, right? You want to be the puppeteer who pulls the strings and makes the stuff happen, not the pawn. Right.
I also had a fourth thing in there too, a little bit. If you're growing a business around you as the brand, obviously you can't outsource that. So many people I know have tried to start a business where they're the face of the brand, yet all the content is being done by somebody else, and it's just so incongruent. And people just realize that straight away and go, I ain't going to buy from this person. Because when they're on video, they're doing one thing and saying one thing, but the blog post is something completely different, and it's just not congruent.
So that's 100% agree.
Thing I wouldn't say you could outsource either.
Anything. There is one thing to that though. Anything that has my name on it, I 9 times out of 10 do. However, you can have someone spend time, if you trust them, spend time to learn who you are, right? So they develop a persona and understand you as a person, and it takes a bit of time. But what you can have them do is, if you want to go down that path of being able to outsource the stuff that has your name on it, they learn and get inside your mind, spend a bit of time, and it is an investment of time, but it is sometimes worthwhile. And what you can have them do is they can have the 80 or 90% of the information, right, and then you just apply your elements to it.
Absolutely.
Right, because you, when you, you know, 80 or 90% of stuff that I write is all stuff that is the sum total of my knowledge, right, which is knowledge that can be, passed on. And then as I'm writing stuff, there's the 10 or 20% that I think, oh, that'd be really awesome to apply to this situation, and I'll put that in there, right? And that's the stuff, the inspiration stuff that they can't replicate. So what I'm moving towards now is having that process happen where they do the foundation stuff, and then I just tweak it.
Yeah,
right. I just add my persona to it.
The ghostwriting kind of stuff, because I don't think it's
any
secret for a lot of the people who know my blog and stuff that when my first book came out a few years ago, that was done with a ghostwriter. So we sat down for 2 or 3 times a week for about a 6-month period to put that book together. I didn't do a single bit of the actual writing as such, but it was still my content. So it can still work in those sort of scenarios as well.
Just this is actually something for you, Pete, which you can. Because I know we're talking about something else that you're doing now. If you want to write a book really quickly, sit in front of a camera for 12 hours, go through and just like break it up into the sections that whatever it is you're doing, and just have verbal diarrhea for 12 hours, right? Dump it all on there. Give that video presentation to someone and say who's experienced at it, and say turn this into a presentation/manual.
Exactly.
Right, and you, what will happen is you'll have 200 pages of content that comes back, which is your book, and then all you have to do is just go through and proof it. Yeah. So you can literally write a book in a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's how I did my first book. I literally sat down for about half a day and bullet pointed and highlighted other books and put sort of the structure of the book together, and then said to Michael, here, actually make this coherent. that was basically my instructions to him, is make this coherent.
Yep.
And then we sat down, and had breakfast, and we went through and, oh, you kind of missed this point here, and this is what I was trying to say here, and did that verbal diarrhea over breakfast, which was interesting
in itself. I get a lot of my stuff transcribed, and I have to ask them to remove a lot of stuff because like some of the stuff I say just doesn't come out right.
Yeah.
And it makes me sound like either really rude or just, you know, the most foulest human being. I read it and I go, I said what? You know, I don't want that in there. So I actually have to get them to filter a lot of stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking to do your own personal stuff, there is ways to do it. But I 100% agree. If it's your own name, I like to have the final signing point, whether I write it myself or, you know, whether that's just tweaking it. So, but yeah, I mean, coming back to the three things, you know, the only things you really should be doing, as well as what we just went through, is the things you enjoy, the strategic elements, and the relationships that are in your life. You know, everything else can be outsourced. From, you know, I actually saw a post the other night. What was it? Someone was posting a bid to manage their online dating profile, right? And whoever did this had to go through the questions, you know, review the people, right, for him, and they got paid based on the dates that they set.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So
Possibly not congruent in the actual ones you get to the date, but still very cool.
Exactly. So, but I mean, you can go to the nth degree, you know, and it, and again, it applies offline, you know, from you know, getting your lawns mowed. You know, if your time is worth, you know, $30 an hour, why don't you pay the kid down the street $10 to go mow your lawns? So you can invest that hour into something that is worthwhile. If you, you know, iron your shirt, and I know a lot of very successful people who do their housework, and I think to myself, well, unless you enjoy it, or unless you're doing it because your wife or husband has said, get it done, yeah, right? In this case, it'd be my wife. You know, get someone to do that, because, you know, for $20 an hour, you can have someone come through, completely clean up your house, and you can choose to do something else. Yeah. So this stuff applies to all elements of your life. Yeah. So
that's all right. Beautiful, mate. Oh, well, I think we're probably coming close to that hour mark anyway, so we probably shouldn't drag on too much longer. I know when we spoke earlier today, I said, oh, yeah, it's 20 minutes. But, you know, it's good once we get on a roll. It's always good. So the outsource method is the product or the program you put together. I'll put some links at the bottom of the blog post here.
Sweet.
Hope everyone really enjoyed the conversation. I did. I got lots of value out of it, as I always do when I talk to you and Mark. So
mate,
got some value too.
It's my pleasure, mate. Like I said, it's all about just coming in and providing as much value as possible. You know, if you know, someone can take one thing away and implement it to their business, whether they buy the course or not, you know, they are going to be better off. I had this conversation with, and I know we're wrapping it up, but I just want to make this last point. I had this conversation with Ian, who's the CEO of Rent-A-Coder, and he said to me, you know, I'm so happy that you're putting this together, because there's, you know, in the outsourcing arena, you can't influence the supplier. Right, you can't go and get people to go back and do a design degree if they're bad at design, right?
Sure.
I almost let another word out there, but you know, you can't influence the supply aspect. If you can influence the buyer's aspect, if you can make the buyers a little bit more intelligent in how they're requesting stuff, because 9 times out of 10, the suppliers are actually very good. It's usually the buyer who has inefficiently asked for or asked for the wrong things out of context, and because they've done that, they've got a result that they didn't expect, but it is exactly what they've asked for, right, in the supplier's mind. So all it is about educating the buyers on how to do it a little bit better, and this course will turn the outsourcing industry into an absolute demon, because if you have, you know, you take the outsourcing industry and you create 100,000 educated buyers, right, it's going to force the suppliers to step up their game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, so, like, I completely agree with you. It all comes down to a brief. And we have this rule in our office, in my marketing stuff, as well as in the telco office, that if you ask someone, another team member, to do something, and it comes back to crap or not what you wanted, it's your fault
for not having
a tight enough brief.
That's right. I work from a premise, communication is the response you get, period.
Yeah, that's very cool. Communication is the response you get.
Yep. If you didn't accurately communicate it, then you are not going to get the right response.
Yeah. No, very good. And that conversation you had with Ian from Rent-A-Coder is available over on the website, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. It's up at the moment. And there's some really awesome stuff in there, because, I mean, he's a guy who's been in the industry for 9 years. He's seen, like, he runs the bloody thing. Like, he's seen.
He's the industry.
Yeah, he is the industry, exactly. I just wanted to put, like, as my headline, I wanted to put, like, you know, interview with Ian, right, CEO of Rent-A-Coder. That's it. In my mind, I'm thinking, like, if I saw that, I'd be like, holy crap. You know, I can go and watch this interview. That's awesome, right? But one thing that, like, people don't understand the value behind someone if they don't know who that person is. But this guy, he basically has created the outsourcing industry pretty much and set a lot of the standards. He's seen the worst of the worst and what people fail at, and he's seen the best of the best and what works in the industry, and we go through a lot of that in the interview. It's really actually, it's worthwhile going and grabbing if you can.
Very cool. Well, there's some links on the blog, and hope you all enjoyed it.
And sweet as.
Thank you very much for your time, mate.
My absolute pleasure, man. Anytime.